We want to continue from where we left off, the teaching of faith. And I want to enjoin us, please open your heart. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about who is here, who is not here. I want you to focus on God, because God is here without any shadow of a doubt. Hallelujah. I read chapter 6 last week. Time will fail me to read that chapter 6 again, but I want to read chapter 7 from verse 9 to 16. Judges chapter 7, I know you are wondering, it's just saying chapter 7, you didn't see the book. But if you have been following me, you will know what I'm talking about. Judges 7, and I'm reading from verses 9 to 16. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thy hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thy hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites, and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the sea for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came into a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand had God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel, and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered unto your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into 3 companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lambs within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside, I've gone past, right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, Hebrews 11. Some stories make a very good reading, you know. Hebrews 11 and 32. And what shall I say more? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. Father, breathe upon your word. Let this word become life unto us. We have read it, O Lord. Let it not just be a story. Let it be life that would direct us, help us to learn lessons that we can apply to our daily living. And let it build faith within us. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. The writer of Hebrew may not have time to write about Gideon and the others. But that does not minimize their faith, and it does not minimize their importance. Hallelujah. He didn't have time. I have time today. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you. First, we see, let me run a quick background. We see the children of Israel. The Bible says they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And God allowed the Midianites to come and ravage them. When they are planted and they are ready to harvest, the devourers will come. But there was a time, from what we have read. Let me put it this way. They come, they raid, they eat everything, the Bible says. They come with their tents and their camels, and they leave nothing for the children of Israel. Hallelujah. But then what they did not realize was that they've been doing it for 7 years. Now they are coming in the 8th year. They did not know that God has forgiven the children of Israel. They did not know that Israel has cried unto the Lord. They did not know that the 8th year was a new beginning for the children of Israel. What they did not realize was that the ones who always come, they raid your life. But from today, when they come, the Bible says, when the enemy shall come like a flood, that God is going to raise up a standard. That time when they came, they met a standard. A standard that crushed them. A standard that destroyed them. Whatever has been ravaging your life, that's been running through you, day in, day out, I declare by the authority that is in the name of Jesus Christ that today that reading has come to an end. That destruction in your life has come to an end. If you accept it, if you believe it, shout a better amen. One day it must come to a stop. And today is that day. A day when you yourself say, enough is enough. Somebody say, enough is enough. Hallelujah. Some of us don't know why we should war a good warfare. I don't know if I told you last week. But if I did and you don't remember, let me remind you. Satan does not care where you are coming from. He doesn't even care where you are. He cares about where God is taking you. And he wants to stop you from getting to where God is taking you. But I decree to you today that Satan will not be able to stop you. Demons will not be able to stop you. Calamity will not be able to stop you. You will achieve the very purpose that God has set out for you. If you believe it, say amen. I told us last week that Gideon was met. A depressed man in a pit, frustrated, hiding the little he was able to harvest away from the marauders. He was angry, a whole man like himself, hiding underground, doing the right thing in the wrong place. I said, that will not be your portion anymore. Yeah. Hallelujah. And you see, it's not a good life when fear rules you. You understand what I say? It takes your peace. It steals your joy. You become suspicious of everybody. You can't sleep well because you are ravaged with fear. Fear of not enough. Fear of what of if this happens to my children? What of if that happens? That I said, no, fear will not rule you anymore. In Jesus' mighty name. Israel took God out of their lives. America is a case study today. God taken out of the schools. Hallelujah. God is taken out of the homes. God taken out of the government. God taken out of most of the public places. Even in some churches, God has been taken out. Hallelujah. And when, remember, there is no vacuum in life. Did you hear me? There is no vacuum in life. You leave a space, it can't remain empty. Something will occupy it. And when God was taken out, Satan took his stroll and just walked in with all his demons. There are things unheard of that are happening these days. How can a mother marry his own son, our own son? And have children for our own son. That's an abomination. Because God is no longer there. We have a responsibility to make sure that we put God in the faces of our children. And put God in our own face too on a daily basis. Hallelujah. Because when we remove God and allow Satan to operate like the children of Israel did, that's serious bondage. Who is going to defend you when God is no longer there? The Bible calls him our present help in the times of trouble. If you don't know, America is in trouble. If you don't believe it, America is in serious trouble. And this nation needs our prayer. Nigeria needs our prayer. Whatever nation you come from needs our prayer. Sierra Leone needs our prayer. But then, God is always waiting in the wings. Let me see if they will invite me. Let me see if they will call me back. And we know that when God is called back, He will show up, and He will show up with His word. He will show up with instructions. He will show up with a broom. He wants to sweep away all the cobwebs, all the dust that has covered everything before. He wants to sweep them away. I said this morning to our workers, if you don't notice, better notice well, is your soul drowning? If your soul is drowning, it's because you need to call God. You need to cry unto the Most High God. And God came. Gideon. Let me get some things out. This thing is too long. He said the angel of the Lord appeared to him. The truth of the matter is, it was Jesus Christ that appeared to him. You ask me, okay, Pastor, how do you know? Why did he didn't say Jesus Christ? He said the angel of the Lord. You see the Lord there is a capital one. And Gideon, when he said, thou mighty man of valor, I'm still coming to that. Gideon said, if what you are saying is true, hold on, wait. He went to bring a sacrifice, right? A sumptuous, wonderful sacrifice. A show of his acceptance. Amen? Angels don't accept sacrifice. Hello? Did you hear that? Angels can't. Huh? They don't have the authority. The Lord stood, He brought the sacrifice, a whole goat. And He stretched out His rod and consumed it by fire. And He left His presence physically, but He never left His presence because He kept on talking to Him. You'll find that in your Bible. Praise the Lord. God called Gideon, who He created him to be. That's the name God calls you. Who you really are. What God made you, where He sees you, is not where you are. Men can call you by where you are. Men can deal with you by where you are. Men can treat you because of where you are. Men can call you this and that. No, God deals with you by where He created you to be. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes when I'm talking to God in the place of prayer, every name my mother called me, I'll call myself that name. If you understand what I'm trying to say. I'll call myself the deep, everyone. And say, Lord, it's me. It's nobody, it's me. It's me and you. And we talk. And don't let me go there. Praise the Lord. Sasma, should God paint the picture of your future, of who you really are to you today? Do you think you will believe it? Huh? You most likely will not. Amen? Did you think that when Obama was struggling as a young man, God showed up to him and said, you are going to become the president of the United States of America? I'm sure he will have puff smoke in his face. It was by God that he became it. But he disappointed that God. Obama is one of the reasons why America is in trouble today. Obama is one of the reasons why people like Donald Trump is rising up and speaking. Obama is the reason why people like Clinton are rising. They are both wrong for this country. But only God knows. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm not a politician, I'm a pastor. Hallelujah. Gideon received the word of God. Faith rose within him. You want to change a situation? Bring God into it. You can attest to that. Bring God. Because nothing changes until God shows up. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you are more than who you think you are. Say, you are more than who you think you are. I said last week, you will think where you are that God has forgotten you. No, God hasn't forgotten you. God has an assignment for you. It's not about age. It's about availability. It's not about qualification. It's about your availableness. Saying, God, use me for your glory. Hallelujah. Gideon, he knew the will of God. He accepted it, but he was fearful. Like I wrote in the bulletin this morning, don't confuse the setting out of fleas with seeking to know the will of God. That's not it. It was about his fear. It was not about the will of God. He already knew the will of God. He needed courage. And all of us need courage to do the will of God. Hallelujah. And that's why we need to always seek his face. Many of us are not doing what we are supposed to be doing in the house of God because we are fearful. Today, receive courage. Today, receive grace. Today, receive courage. Today, receive grace. I pray that the Holy Ghost will reassure you today. Gideon needed reassurance. Every day we go to God for reassurance. We don't need to set out fleas anymore. But we can go in the place of prayer. I don't want to flog that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What is faith in God? As evidenced here. Faith is when we choose to partner with God. Not the other way around. Not when you are saying, God, partner with me. No, when we partner with God and say, Lord, I'm ready for whatever you are doing. Not God, come and do what you are doing. Come and join me in what I am doing. God is not your boy. Sorry. In normal English, we say it's not your bell up. Amen? It's not your bell up. Partnering with God is one sure sign of faith. God said, Gideon, you will overcome in the Midianites as one man. That's a great statement. That's a fearful statement. The Bible says when they come like locust. They are like dust. Now you are saying, I will overcome them as one man. What are you talking? Because God was trying to tell him, come with me, follow me. You and I will take them. You know, in movies, especially the Chinese movie, one single actor and thousands of soldiers with sword, and he alone in their midst, bish, 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 bish. And before you know it, everybody is down. And only the actor is standing. God said, as one man. You see, what God wants to use you to do, I have not seen. Ear has not heard. It has not come to the understanding of any man. It's too great. That if they told you, you will be scared. As one man. God, what are you talking about? But eventually Gideon accepted. Faith is what you do with the word of God. You want me to say that again? Faith is something you do with God's word. Hallelujah. Gideon went ahead. Each time God led him, bring down the altar of Baal in his father's house. He did it. Gather men. You know, the original number of men Gideon gathered, we don't know. But God said, tell them, all those who are fearful among them, let them go home. Huh? When everybody who was fearful went home, he had 22,000 left. Read that scripture very well. The man had 22,000 left. God said, Gideon, I said you will overcome Midian as one man, not with 22,000. Because if I allow you to go with all these ones, they will think that it's because of their number. That's why they overcame. But their number had been there before. Why didn't they overcome? God said, reduce them. Gideon said, okay. And a sign of his own fear too. Because if I were Gideon, and God said, reduce the number, I'll ask him a question. How many do you want? Right? He didn't ask. He cut the number from 22,000 to 10,000. Say, God, this should be acceptable to you by now. And God said, they are still too much. Jonathan said to his servant, let's go. God, in his act of mercy, can favor us. He can save either by numbers, by many, or by a few. And in this instance, God wanted to save by a few. Actually, he wanted to save by just one man. Because the soldier among the enemies, the Amalekites and the Midianites, guess what? Let me backtrack a little bit. Do you know who the Midianites were? The Midianites were the sons of Keturah, the second wife of Abraham. You see household wickedness. Huh? It didn't start in Nigeria. I'm just telling you. Praise the Lord. When the soldier who dreamed the dream and his brother was interpreting, he said, this can be nothing. He didn't say the sword of the children of Israel. He said the sword of Gideon. And God led Gideon to hear that. If only you can hear what your enemies are saying about you, you will know that they are afraid of you. Some people are not convinced. How many of you know that Satan is afraid of you? Oh yes, he's afraid. Satan is fearful. He knows we are not on the same level. That's why he will come and barrage you all the time. Why is he hiding? We're not saying he's not smart, but his smartness cannot overcome us. Yes. Hallelujah. Yeah. Somebody say, I'm victorious. Yeah. Somebody say, I'm victorious. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. I ask you a question today, what do you need to go and do the will of God? The only true answer is the surety of the word of God. I've sung it as a song. You've heard me, and I'm saying it again. If you can only put yourself in my shoes, as a man that came to Kansas City alone, with nothing, nothing, and nobody, and saying, well, I have a vision. The hotel I slept overnight, went to the reception to check out. The lady I met there was like, you know, with the confidence of I came with God. Hallelujah. I said, I'm a pastor. Came to start a church here all the way from me. Before I finished my statement, she was like, why Kansas City? Why did you come here? This place is not good. This place is not nice. As you, like they will say in Pidgin English, as you see me so, I'm on my way out. I'm leaving. You know, fear caught my heart. It was Satan's setup. It was Satan trying to say, you better pack your bag and go. This is not the right place for you. And then all the people who said, I can't see it. There's nothing there. They have more cows than they have people. Nothing is happening there. I started hearing their voices in my head. Then I said, no. You know, all those juju people will stand and say, no. With the word, I said, no. I heard God well. But I went to him in prayer. I said, Lord, look at what they are saying. I said, I don't know anybody here. He said, but you know me. Up till now, when I remember it, it strengthens me. It gives me confidence. Confidence to go on. Not because, oh, I'm seeing everything he said the way I expect them to be. No, I'm just standing and still hold. You know, you stand in the train and you hold the, and the thing is dancing, dancing. You know one way or the other, you get to where you are going. That's the level. That's the level that I am right now. Hallelujah. What we need is the surety of the word of God to move ahead. God has spoken. Go, go. He said to him, go in this thy might. I have empowered you. Go. No man shall be able to stand before you. He said, they may gather against you, but not by me, saith the Lord. He said, but for your sake they will fall. For your sake they will fail. Every gathering, every demonic gathering against anyone under the sound of my voice, I dare they begin to fall right now. They begin to fall this very moment. The fire of God fall upon them. In Jesus' name. Don't fearful. God spoke. Gideon committed himself to what God said. It takes a mega commitment to do what Gideon did. And you know what, folks? Faith cannot work without commitment. You can't be expecting God, do this, God, and you are not committed. Which part of the word of God are you committed to? Which part of the instructions of God are you committed to? The word you hear from this pulpit, how many of it is internalized on the inside of you? We must commit to what God says for us to make a success of our assignment. Hallelujah. There is no faith without commitment. There is no success in marriage without commitment. If you are married, you will know. There is no success. It's commitment. If not, that marriage will not work. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 11, this is about Sarah in the same hall of faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 11. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, when it was impossible. Looking at the multitude of the Midianites and the Amalekites, it was impossible. Looking at my present circumstance and situation, looking at the situation of Wisdom Assembly, it is seemingly impossible to see what God is saying. But by faith, he said, she delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who has promised. That is, the one who promised cannot fail. If I can only trust in him and I go in the direction he says I should go. The same thing with Gideon. Gideon judged God faithful. He judged him faithful. That's just faith, brethren. Never you conclude on God wrongly, you will lose. Did you hear me? God always wins. Tell your neighbor, God always wins. Gideon went ahead. Faithful is he that has promised. He will surely. Even when he cut the men to 22,000. And then he cut them to 10,000. And then he cut them to 300. If you are not a person of faith, you will say, Lord, let's have a meeting. He judged him faithful. You see, learning to follow instruction is already a guarantee that you are likely going to pass. If you have written exams before, you know, you may know the answer. But if you don't follow the instruction, you'll fail. Gideon followed God's instructions. He won, if you need to know the end. He won. Now, when you doubt and when you refuse God, when you refuse to obey him, you have judged him unfaithful. Did you hear me? You doubt God. You refuse to do what he says because you have a reason not to. Do you know that your reason not to obey God is never stronger than your reason to obey him? Your reason not to tithe is never stronger than your reason to tithe. Some people don't know that. There is a supernatural grace upon a tither that you may be in debt, but because you are faithful, God is going to take you out of debt in his own miraculous way, where men will not be able to ridicule you, where men will not be able to make a mockery of you, where people will not be able to bounce you here and there because you just choose and say, Lord, why don't you think about it this way? How did you find yourself in that mess? You put yourself there. Remember, the problem is not how much we earn. It's how we spend what we earn. That's the problem. Forgive my English. If you have long throat, cut it. The things you can't afford. If you can't afford it, nobody will kill you. But you can't afford not to obey God. That one can kill you. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, there's, God never said if you don't tithe, you'll go to hell. Okay. When you get there, let us know. Praise the Lord. Because he said he will judge every disobedience. You understand what I'm trying to say? Every crime against God is not everything is written in the Bible, right? Huh? It says every disobedience. Huh? It's a sin. So if it's a disobedience against God, and guess what? Your conscience will know. Your conscience will know. Hallelujah. Abraham, God said, kill Isaac for me. The Bible said that Abraham concluded that God is able to raise him back up, though it doesn't make sense for me to kill this boy. But God is faithful. He will raise him up again. Hallelujah. Brethren, the God you serve, the God I serve, is not unfaithful. He's always faithful to his word. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, it says, even if we believe not, yet he abided faithful. He cannot deny himself. Did you read that? Huh? He can't deny himself. Not on your own disobedience. He will still remain faithful. And guess what? Isaiah 55 verse 11 or verse 10 and 11. It says, for as the rain cometh down and snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the heart and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. I'm coming with something. You will learn something in a minute. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in that thing, with that soul, I sent it. Hold on. Let's pause. I need two people to demonstrate what I want to say. Two people, quickly. Two people. The longer you take, the longer this message will be. Two people. Thank you. It's always these two people. Stand. Stand here. Stand here. Stand. Watch. Now, God sent his word, right? Bam! So and so and so and so. This is what I'm going to do. And this man, God forbid, refused it, disobeyed it, did not trust God enough concerning that word. God said, his word will not return back to him void. The word will look for somebody else and land on another person who has the potential to fulfill it. If that man too refused to fulfill it, that word will still look for somebody. The word will not return to heaven until it has accomplished. It does not matter who he uses to accomplish it. Thank you. It doesn't matter who God uses. But the point is, the word will not return back to him void until it has accomplished its purpose. I pray that the word of God over your life will accomplish his purpose. I said the word of God over your life will accomplish his purpose. You see, faith is simply, Lord, no matter the circumstance, no matter what is happening, God, you are faithful. Who amongst us think it's easy to serve God? Who amongst us think it's easy to obey God? Who amongst us think it's easy to follow the will of God? No. There's no easy there. It's a conscientious decision. For the joy that was set before him, he endured. For the sake of heaven, I have to make heaven. I have to be in heaven when the time comes. I can't gamble my life to fail it. Because of $200. Think about it. If you are involved in adultery or fornication, God deliver you today. How long? Changing women like clothes. From one to another. You are driven by lust on a daily basis. Your life is in total turmoil. May God deliver. Amen. Gideon knew it doesn't make sense to cut this army. Lord, everything we say we need, you are removing them. I said, this thing is not enough. You said you bring 10%. What's going on? But he judged him faithful. He knew that God could not have come to call him in the pit and left him to hang out dry for the enemy to overcome. So when God starts something with you, you better hold on to him until that thing is finished. Okay. You may not hear me now, but you will hear me later. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Gideon committed himself. We're going to do as God says. We're going to divide ourselves in three battalion of hundreds. And then we're going to, every man is going to stay in their position. Every man is going to be where they ought to be. That's another question you need to ask yourself. Are you where God wants you to be in your spiritual life? Are you standing where God wants you to stand in your spiritual life? Are you in the home that God ordained you to be? Hallelujah. That's a question you need to ask. Because that's the only place where the plan of God will work for your life. Think about it. You are scared. You are hiding. And God called you out and said, I'm going to make you victorious over what you are afraid of. Jeremiah, don't look at their faces. Don't look at their faces. Don't be afraid of them. Because when God is with you, you don't need fear. I've said it. I've said it again. I'll say it again. I will follow God. It's either we succeed together or we fail together. But guess what? God never fails. There's even a song like that. God never fails. And so on and so forth. Amen. You will be victorious. I say you will be victorious. When you join God's agenda, victory is certain. And then, another aspect of faith in Gideon is that the Bible says in Judges 8, verse 4, Judges 8, you know, you start something and you get to a point you are tired. And the temptation to give up is very much present, right? I'm sure we all have been there, you know. I'm done. I can't go on. But look at. And Gideon came to Jordan, verse 4, chapter 8, verse 4, and passed over. He and the 300 men that were with him, faint. They were tired. But they knew the work is not finished. They knew they have not achieved their purpose. So what did they do? They kept on pursuing. Grace to move. Grace to continue. Grace to go ahead. God release upon you today. Hallelujah. This is faith in action. Faith starts and faith finishes. Faith never gives up, regardless of the situation. What area of your life are you struggling today to obey God? What area of your life are you struggling to give it all over and allow God to use you? What area of your life are you about to give up and say, I'm tired, it's enough? Nobody is irreplaceable. Don't let the word that God has sent to operate in your life, don't let that word leave you and go and look for your neighbor. He says, to she that believes, there shall be a performance. Always remember that the timing of man is not the timing of God. Men may mock you and say, this God you are talking about all this while, this God. What is that happening? Nothing is changing in your life. Guess what? When it changes, they will be the one to sing your praise to. I say when it changes, they will be there to applaud you. When it changes, they will be there to bow before you. Did you know that your master is going to be taken away today? All his classmates were mocking him. They knew, but they didn't follow. And when Elisha received the mantle, bam! Where's the God of Elijah? Jordan opened. From the other side, they bowed and started following him. That's a man who was dogged. Impossible situations were presented before him. Think about it. Stop following me. Sorry, sir. I have to follow. Okay, what do you want? You are becoming a pest. I want a double portion of the anointing in your life. Watch this. Elijah did not say, kneel down. Let me lay hands on you. I begin to pray. All the anointing of my life, receive it right now. No, nothing goes for nothing. He said, okay. It's done. But if you can only see me when I am taking. That's a very difficult task. If you can see me. So you mean I can't sleep? That's your problem. If you can only see me, it might be when you are sleeping. You mean when I feel pressed to go to the bathroom, I can't go? No, well, that's your problem. If you can only see me, he didn't say, okay, when you wake up, I will wait for you when you are awake, or I'll wait for you when you come back from the bathroom. Uh-uh. If you can see me. Bro did not close his eyes. Do you know that medical doctors, especially those surgeons, they spend hours on their feet operating to give life to somebody? Wow. 14 hours. Some people have gone to England and back. And they are standing, fixing somebody not to die. They do shifts. Non-stop all round. Kudos to doctors. Telling you. Elisha became more vigilant than ever. You see, you get what you want depending on how much you want it. Then you are ready to sacrifice whatever it takes to get it. The moment the chariot of fire came from heaven, you know, the Bible says within a twinkle of an eye. And that's what happened. a twinkle of an eye. He shouted, "My father, my father, the chariot!" Just to confirm that I saw it, oh, chariots! Then the mantle fell. How much do you want it? How much are you ready to go for it? Lift up your two hands to heaven.